This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Back here on Sports Talk. Happy to welcome in now Michael Jannetty, co-founder and editor at Spot Rack. Michael, how you been doing? I know it's been a crazy time of year right now as we get ready going into the NFL Combine.
Yeah, doing well. It's certainly starting to ramp up here with some late Friday transactions, but we love it. We're eating it up.
Looking at the Saints situation, I don't know if it's as confusing and hard for you to dissect as it is for us. You look at it, and it's been a bit of a mishmash for these last couple of seasons with this bunch. And it just, every single season, they're doing something to try and get back over the cap. Right now with the new projected salary cap for next season, where do the Saints sit right now?
Yeah, the best guess is around minus 48, minus 47. We'll see where that final number lands, but that's probably a pretty close to accurate estimate as to where things stand right now, which isn't great because, as you sort of alluded to, this is one of those years where you can't just kind of plug and play and move some things around and make it all work. They're at a point now where so many of these contracts are at a stuck moment that you can't just even start releasing players and free up the space that you need. So there's going to be some pain, I think some real maybe eye raisers here over the next couple of weeks to see what happens, and that's certainly starting at the quarterback position all the way down.
Yeah, Michael, before we go on, you know, the projections for the salary cap are always interesting to me because it's very much a projection until we find out the real number, but it's based on something, and sometimes it comes in higher, sometimes it comes in lower. You don't really see it coming lower that often, but what can you just explain where those projections come from? Like, what are the data points you're looking at when you're trying to figure out what the cap is going to be next year? How much is it going to go up? Because that obviously changes a lot in terms of what because teams have to plan for their cap next year, and they have to try to figure out what it is the same way everyone else does.
Yeah, exactly, right? So we obviously track year to year, and we've got the percent changes and things like that. That's sort of what we base it on, right? That there was a while there before the COVID years where there were a lot of adjustments that it was a pretty natural 7 to 7.5% increase. So we could pretty much get within 1 to 2 million early on in the off season, and then things would finalize as we got about this time every year. And then of late, right, the last 3 to 4 years, especially since the COVID stuff has been paid back and all of that's gone away to some degree, things have really exploded. And that's gambling, that's a huge revenue streaming, right? Thursday Night Football, all the things that have been added in, Christmas football, all these added revenues have really just forced the hand to the point of where now, if it used to be 7%, it's looking like 9.5 to 10% might be the new normal, which means, you know, if we're going 280 million this year, we're going to be at or above 300 million next year, which is pretty wild when you know where we started from.
Derek Carr is obviously the big talk around here, their Saints situation with him. And, you know, there's the possibility of restructuring him, but that's going to end up adding more years, and I don't think the team wants to do that. The talk is about possibly releasing him post June 1st to save on some money there, or you know, trying to find a trade partner with another team to deal him away as well. But can you lay out the Saints situation, the cap situation with quarterback Derek Carr for us?
It's a tough one because obviously all those options are somewhat on the table. You know, I think he's a slight trade candidate based on what he was able to do over the past couple of seasons here and where he might be headed. But even that isn't great, right? Because of the guarantee that sits here and what might have to happen. So as of right now, there's $10 million guaranteed for the upcoming season. That significantly changes on March 14th when another $30 million of that locks in. So time is of the essence. There's a hard deadline as to what's going to happen here. The post-June 1st makes sense. The problem with that is you got to carry this cap number until June 1st, and then you can certainly cut bait and split this dead cap up over the next couple of seasons. But that's the biggest problem with this is it doesn't alleviate the problem right now unless you can sit down with him and restructure this contract for the purposes of releasing him to make sure that, you know, both sides have a bit of an out here. But I know that they've approached him before about pay cuts and things like that, and it hasn't gone well. So I'm not sure there's a relationship in place to help them out in this regard. They may have to, at some point in time here, find somebody who's interested from a trade perspective and do whatever it takes to make that happen. Because that is, from a cap and obviously from a roster perspective, the best approach is to get him out before June 1st and free up around $11, $12 million, even if it means they have to eat some of that guaranteed money for the 2025 season.
Yeah, the only issue is, you know, we saw this play out with the Raiders. He has a no-trade clause, so he could be like, eh, not happening. But, you know, I am curious. I want your perspective on, you know, obviously the Saints are kind of the poster child for how they manage the cap in terms of, you know, converting base salary into bonus structures and pushing it out over however many years and blah, blah, blah. You know, they're not the only team that does it. It just seems like in a lot of cases, you know, when it's the Eagles that are doing it, I see terms like financial alchemy. I think we may have lost. I think we may
he dropped
lost
out. Charlie's going to try and get him back. So, yeah, hold your question. You don't have all to right keep going into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can kind of say it. But, like, yeah, it's interesting because when we talk about the salary cap, it's like if when a team does what the Saints do and it goes well,
it's brilliant.
We use different words.
Yeah.
Right? We use I saw a term we used called – is he back?
He is back.
All right. Michael, did you get any of my question before? Should I start over?
Started over, sorry.
All right. I'd like your perspective on, you know, the Saints and how they manage the cap in terms of, you know, they're kind of the poster child for those people who say kicking the can, quote unquote, and, you know, converting money from a base salary into a bonus structure, moving it out over however many years they can, void years, all that stuff. And the interesting thing to me is, you know, they're not the only team that does it, but when it's going well, there's a lot nicer terms that are used for it. I saw somebody use the term financial alchemy to describe how the Eagles are operating and how it all worked out. Man, they got a Super Bowl. It's great. And no one's really thinking about, okay, 5 years from now, how is this going to look? Because they got it done. You know, the Saints, they didn't get it done. They got to the NFC Championship. There was the worst no-call in the history of sports, and they didn't get there. So we kind of view it as a failure. But, you know, it is kind of a, you know, when the Rams go all in and they win, we don't talk about, wow, was that worth it? Because of course it was worth it. And now, but the problem is it's hard to pull that back. It's hard to just pull the cord and start from scratch. And that's where the Saints are right now of like, man, you know, we didn't get that full reward. So now was it worth it at all? But either way, you got to figure out how to navigate around it. So I'm just curious where you land on that strategy as a whole, because it does help you compete. But then it can definitely lead to some problems down the line.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it. And there's certainly more and more teams jumping on this bandwagon, and they have for the past couple of seasons, right? What the Buccaneers did during the Brady era was uberly aggressive in this regard. Void years, you know, massive bonuses, massive conversions, everything you're talking about here. So teams sort of pick and choose, I think, right now when they're going to do it. The Saints have just been one of those teams that have done it annually for over a decade now, and you're right. When you don't have that Super Bowl hanging over you, it continues to look like you're just beating the dead horse to a certain degree, right? And that's now amplified with the fact that there's many pieces on this roster that I think the team would like to move on from, and the aggressiveness of the cap gymnastics is disallowing them from being able to do that very easily, right? So that starts with the Carr situation, like we just talked about. You know, the Taysom Hill contract, the Kamara contract, the Cam Jordan contract, all of these players that are at least getting towards the end of their tenure here, maybe their careers as a whole, it's not just as easy as saying, let's just release these players. That's why teams don't do this on a regular basis, because they want the control to be able to say at any point in time, even the biggest players, even the highest cap hits on this roster have to be flexible enough for us to have a decision on every March, and the Saints don't have that ability right now. So I'm a proponent of being aggressive, especially when you know you have value somewhere on your roster, whether that's the quarterback position, whether that's with a couple of defensive rookies that you hit like the Rams are in currently right now. I'm a big proponent of that. I think the Saints have taken things a little bit too far when they've gone from 1 to 15 and 16 with their contracts being this aggressive with the cap situation. But they're going to have to go through 2 to 3 years of really serious purging now to get themselves back to square one, and then we'll see what they do with the next iteration.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think something I've said to Steve a few times is like, I think where you really suffer in that scenario is not necessarily the players you have around that you want. It's the players you have around that you'd like to move on from that you can't because it doesn't make sense to do so. And you end up keeping guys, like I look at a Michael Thomas, a guy they probably would have moved on from the Saints would probably a year before they did. And then you saw that really fall apart. But I do want to, I want to kind of sharp pivot here to something that's similar, but I'm sure you have feelings about as well. In baseball, there's no salary cap, so you can defer money, but it's a way different situation because it's all guaranteed, and you see these crazy deals coming in with, you know, like Shohei Ohtani with all that deferred money. It's insane, you know, and for a long time it was like, you know, we make jokes about like Bobby Bonilla Day and like, you're still paying this guy. He hasn't played in forever. It feels like to me, you know, we're setting up a scenario where 20 years from now is going to be Bobby Bonilla Day for like 50 different guys and they're not playing anymore. They're still raking in cash. But does it even matter because we're just getting upset about a billionaire's balance sheet? You know, and but to me, it just seems to be stacking the deck more and more and more in favor of the have it teams versus the don't have it teams in terms of the salary, or in terms of deep yeah. pockets. So how do you view that situation? Because it just seems so bonkers to me that you can sign a guy, and even like Alex Bregman's deal this year, it has a bunch of backloaded money that, you know, he's probably not going to see until he retires. I'm just curious, what are your opinions on that iteration of current Major League Baseball contracts?
It's been around forever, right? I've been doing this for 20 plus years here, and the deferred money's been there, right? The Nationals have been big with it. The Angels, to some degree, have been doing this for quite a while. So it's been there, but it's been kind of buried under the woodworks, and the Dodgers just blew the doors off this thing with the Ohtani contract specifically and then everything that's followed. My take is this. The biggest issue I have with it isn't so much that it's a pay later structure and that, you know, Shohei Ohtani won't see $680 million until he's 40, 45 years old. To me, that's just accounting. The problem with it is that teams benefit from the present day value, right? So there isn't the salary cap, but there is a luxury tax. And if the Dodgers had the same rules as everybody else and the deferred contracts weren't on the books, their luxury tax bill would be upwards of $700, $800 million this season alone, just for this season, because of the bill that would be in place. But because Shohei Ohtani's $700 million is actually $460 million today, they get a $46 million tax salary instead of a $70 million tax salary. So there's a salary cap, there's a cap hit feel when you think about it from that regard, and they are getting significant benefits from doing things the way they're doing it. And they're doing it not only with Ohtani, they're doing it with Tommy Edman right. and Teoscar Hernandez and players that, you know, should be simple 1-2 year contracts, but have become complicated and become massive benefits for the Dodgers. So I don't like that they get the win in that regard. I'm just not so much worried about the cash part of it.
Michael, just curious too, one last thing with Derek Carr. Do you think there's a scenario where the Saints just stand pat and write out the contract they have with him already?
Look, I sat here on my roster management tool for about an hour today trying to get ready for this thing. And the only way forward is if they can't actually trade him, if they have to keep him, the only way for them to get cap compliant by March 12th, in my opinion, is to actually process the full salary cap conversion on Derek Carr again. And I know that's just adding more of this to next year's conversation, but I don't see a way that they don't do that and don't do it with Taysom Hill and don't extend Cam Jordan out a year just to lower that cap hit. So I know that it's just burying the hole even further, but I have a feeling he's going to be on this roster and they're going to convert that salary just like they did last season.
Yeah, I think it would be something in the range of $30 million that they can restructure and move forward, and that definitely takes a huge chunk out of what they would need to do, and it has to be weighing on their minds at some level of like, there's a simple way we can do this and a really complicated way we can do this, and we'll see. I'm just curious, as you go around the NFL and you look at all these quarterback contracts, right? And last year was crazy, and it was just one up. It does feel like there is kind of a middle class of quarterbacking that's reemerging in kind of the Geno Smiths, the Derek Carrs, even the Daniel Jones contract, which, you know, seems way overvalued now. It was right there in the middle. I'm just curious, what do you see as kind of the future of quarterback contracts? Because it feels like if we continue at the rate that we're going,
you got to watch out. Wide receivers are catching up.
Right. It just seems like how do you fill a roster out if you're paying a $30 million wide receiver, a $60 million quarterback? You know, can you have an offensive line? Can you have a running back? But where do you see that kind of market going?
Yeah, there's no question. We had a good little run there, right, with Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith and Daniel Jones. And it's an important offseason to make sure that conversation can continue, right? Because Brock Purdy should not be a $60 million quarterback. He should be in this conversation we're talking about. Sam Darnold, same thing. He should be in this same conversation. So as long as we have a pretty healthy middle class, I'm not overly concerned because, you know, at the same time in the next couple of weeks there, I think the Bills might give Josh Allen $65 million a year. So that's not going away because we're talking about $280, $300 million salary caps for the entire league here. So the league is keeping up. That is the position that will certainly continue to push as long as there are superstars. And I do think there's another crop here about to, you know, grow into it with the C.J. Strouds and maybe even the Jaden Daniels over the next couple of seasons. So I don't see it slowing down. Is it damaging to the rest of the rosters? Of course it is, right? We've seen this in basketball to a certain degree, and things have had to slide down a little bit. But as long as there's a healthy middle class and that becomes the dominating force and we have these outlier contracts at the top, I think we'll be just fine going forward.
Michael Jannetty, definitely appreciate the time, man. Thanks for making sense of all these crazy salary cap numbers with us. Appreciate you.
See ya.
Thanks so much, man.
Michael Jannetty, co-founder and editor at SpotTrack. You can check out all his work there. Great stuff if you want to dive deep into the numbers of salary capdom. And that's why I was like, I need him to come on and explain some of these things to me. Because you start reading it and it's like, I cannot comprehend.
No, it was funny because you booked it and I was just like, oh, that's great because I've been going to this guy's website for years. I'm glad to finally get the chance to talk to him because, like, anytime I have I get questions on Twitter all the time. Oh, what happens if they do this? That's where I go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, click, click, click. All right. I have an answer for you. It's a great website.